this hour and the people we have with us. I'm just going to sort of ask everybody to introduce themselves so you can get to know them. Maybe just your name and the high school you went to and where you're heading off into college. These are, let's see, we've got five interns from the Heinz Endowment Youth Philanthropy Program from this past summer, and we'll start.
I'm Hannah Trevolino. I went to Mount Lebanon High School, and I will be attending McAllister College in the fall.
I'm Tristan Freeman. I graduated from Carrick High School, and I will be attending Washington Jefferson College in the fall.
I'm Autumn Vogel. I graduated from Shaler Area High School, and I'll be going to Allegheny College.
And we'll move that mic. There you go. You got it.
I'm Abby Ferry, and I graduated from Franklin Regional High School, and I'm going to my second year at Penn State University.
I'm Dan Law, and I'm a second-year graduate student at the University of Pittsburgh.
And also here with us is Wayne Jones from the Heinz Endowments. Wayne, how did this program start? This is an internship where generally rising college freshmen, but also some older students, participate. And we'll talk about the youth media portion in a few moments, but how did this whole program begin?
Sure. Years ago, some of the first interns at the endowments were actually members of the Heinz family. And afterward, they said, you know, this is the kind of thing that all young people should have the opportunity to do, to learn about the community, to learn about philanthropy, to learn about how we can improve the world we live in. And so over the years, it's grown from three students to this year where we have 36 all told. The family and the endowments have been very supportive in helping to grow the program. We're just very excited about how it's developed.
It's amazing to see. And one of the things that happens as part of this program is the interns are put at different sites. Now, some are at the Heinz Endowment, some are at Adagio Health, some at Sarah Heinz House, also United Way of Pittsburgh, or United Way of Allegheny County, I should say, and Sustainable Pittsburgh. And each group of interns works to develop a plan to give away money. And if you're going to be an intern at a philanthropic organization like the Heinz Endowments, you're going to learn about the industry or the part of the sector that you are interning with. And that's what the Heinz Endowments is about. So I'm curious what that was like. And maybe I can start with Hannah and with Tristan, and we'll work our way around. Tell us a little bit about the site at which you were working and what you decided to give away money to try to help improve.
Well, I was stationed.
Let me get, it'd help if I got your mic on. See, all these things we tried to teach you while you were here, you'll get to watch me occasionally not do correctly.
I was stationed at Adagio Health with Abby, and we were doing a we wanted to help fund a program that would help destigmatize STDs and make it seen as a more common medical issue so that if it was less taboo, more people would utilize screening. So we also wanted to incorporate screening into the program that we would choose to fund. And we recommended funding for a proposal that Washington and Jefferson College created where they are going to have peer mentors from their student body team up with the Adagio Health Washington County to create STD education curriculum that they'll teach to the community, and they're also having a screening event in April.
That's a great success in being able to do that. When you wrote the RFP, was it the request for proposal, was it hard to put that together?
Well, we actually wrote three different RFPs, so because we talked about a lot of different ideas. We went probably from building trails and farmers markets to homelessness, to youth employment, to after-school programs, to stopping violence, and then to STDs. So we had a lot of different ideas. But once we ultimately settled on one idea, it actually became easy to write because it was so focused.
So like anything else, I guess there are choices to make with limited resources, you know, just as where am I going to go on vacation? I'd love to go to the mountains. I'd love to go to the beach. Or I only have this much money. How am I going to spend it? You sort of had to wrestle a little bit with what particular area of funding you wanted to try to address.
Yeah, because we found that some of the ideas we were interested in would not necessarily be as successful with the amount of funds we were given. But we knew that with STDs, programs could, or organizations could come up with a program that could be successful with our funds that we were giving. So
you wanted to be sure you had impact rather than just blowing in the wind or just sort of a drop in the bucket.
That was an important criteria for us.
Very good to think through that way. Abby, do you want to add anything about the experience?
I mean, one thing that I thought was like really interesting that varied from last summer to this summer is that it can be really difficult giving away money. And that's something that we didn't face last year, because generally you expect, oh, you've got this amount of money and of course people are going to want to apply and of course people are going to want to propose projects. And sometimes it doesn't happen that way for one reason or another. And we had a lot more trouble, I think, this year than my team did last year. But I think that in terms of like allocating resources, that's also difficult because you have so many good ideas and, you know, it's difficult. I mean, when you get a lot of proposals, it's really difficult to decide how do you decide who's more worthy of the money when all of the projects are really good improvements to the community?
Now, why would it be difficult to give away money? A lot of people are probably thinking, I'll take it. Like, how could that be hard?
Well, I think there's a few different things from our personal experience. Like Hannah said, our proposal, our RFP, was really, really specific. So the proposals we got back, we really wanted to see exactly what we were putting out come back to us. And we had really specific guidelines for what we wanted because we worked at Adagio Health, so we kind of got an idea of what was successful and what wasn't. And also, it can be difficult, you know, sometimes you have to take a leap of faith with groups. And last year we ended up doing that with about $7,200 that we had and we knew we wanted to spend it on this group, but we didn't know, we were uncertain about what the outcome was going to be. And we were really, really lucky and it turned out great and the whole project's going to get done. And they're actually having a festival to celebrate it today. So,
And
if you're not busy between 1 and 4.
tell me about that. What's going on?
It's the 3rd Street Park in McKees Rocks, and we granted them a very, very, very minimal amount of money in terms of like what they needed to complete the whole project. They wanted to fully renovate the park from head to toe, and we kind of wanted to be the group to get the ball rolling. So like I was talking about before, we took that leap of faith, and we got really lucky, and Kaboom actually found them, and Kaboom is a nonprofit that builds parks and playgrounds, and gave them I think it was a $75,000 grant to rebuild the park, and it's going to be built on August 19th, I believe. So
now let me understand. So your seed money from the grant you gave last summer has helped to make this $75,000 investment possible?
That's what we'd like to think, but I think that Mary Beth Taylor, the woman who's really spearheaded the movement for the park, has really been just an incredible inspiration to everyone she's applied to. And we went to visit her and she really like got us, you know, dangling on a string. She had us. So, you know, she's just the kind of woman you can't say no to because she's got that fire to change her community.
And well, don't kid yourself, though. The investment you made last summer helped to trigger that.
We hope.
It all works together. That's got to be really exciting to know the kind of impact downstream you're going to have. Do either of you look at philanthropy a little differently, or the idea of individuals making a difference by giving money to charity or volunteering time? I'll turn to Hannah and ask her that question.
Well, I know how far money can go now. I think I didn't understand how much money could have a certain amount of impact before this. And so now I understand the importance of, obviously, there are several aspects to philanthropy, but I do see how important the financial aspect is.
That's good. And Abby?
I tend to agree with that. Actually, she kind of took the words out of my mouth. So,
sorry.
No. Good. That's good. We're on the same page.
No, it is good. And it's a whole different world. What are you planning? We know we talked with Abby last hour. We know she's going to be going into, or she is, studying some biology-based courses of study, likely pre-med. What about for you, Hannah?
I'm not sure, but it'll either be international studies, women's studies, Hispanic studies, media studies, or something else. I'm not totally sure yet.
And that's an appropriate place to be at this point. Heading into your freshman year. Let me turn to Tristan. Where were you stationed? What was your internship site?
I was stationed at the Heinz Endowments, and I just want to say first that being on the 30th floor of such an incredible building and having such a great view, you can see the entire city. And just working there, you sort of take a moment to just turn around and look at everything that Pittsburgh has to offer, and you can tell why it was one of the most livable cities. It's such a beautiful environment to work with.
And it really puts things into perspective, too, because you see areas that are beautiful and well cared for and prosperous, and you can see areas of blight from there as well. What ended up being the topic area of the request for proposal that you've worked on, and who did you work with?
Actually, Autumn and I worked in the same group, so we worked with focusing on leadership aspects, so sustainability, and having the youth become the leaders for it. We want them to be the future leaders for their community, and we wanted to focus on low-income neighborhoods and to create as big of an impact as we possibly could. So if Autumn would agree that writing the RFP was easy, that we knew what we wanted, but the decision process was incredibly hard because we had 6 incredible applicants that all had impacts in various communities, and it was really hard to try to give $25,000 away to just one or two that all 6 could have deserved it.
That's interesting. And you would agree, Autumn, that trying to evaluate the proposals you got back was just not only an amazing responsibility, but a very difficult one to try to choose.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, especially the RFP that we produced had a pretty specific program that we were looking to fund. So
explain what that is.
Well, what we wanted to do was we wanted to empower youth, high school, college-age youth in certain neighborhoods to learn about sustainability and then to go ahead and teach younger youth in their community. We figured then that way that would promote leadership and that would bring about the biggest change. It would be most effective to get youth from that community, you know, to bring about change in their own community, because otherwise, you know, you have people coming from the outside and trying to change what they don't know. So we thought that would be most effective. So that's basically the program we were looking to fund, and we wanted them to hopefully pay the high school, college-age students. We wanted them to we were looking for, like, an after-school thing, but, you know, we got both after-school and during the summer, and we wanted it to be long-term. So it was pretty specific, the program that we were looking to fund. So most of the applicants that we got, all the proposals had something along those lines. So it was definitely hard to narrow down when they were all pretty similar in form.
I can imagine. And I don't know, can you reveal, if not the specific fundee, the nature of what it is? I don't know if the grants have been announced yet, but they haven't been announced yet. They probably have to be approved by the board, but you did find somebody appropriate.
Yeah, we, like I said, you know, and Tristan said as well, it was really hard to narrow it down to just one. So we ended up splitting our funding, and we recommend to allot it proportionally, so no group loses more than the other in comparison to what they asked for. But I think we narrowed it down to 2 really worthy organizations that both, they're both new, but they both have some room to grow, and they should really have a big impact on their communities.
Well, that's terrific. Congratulations. And we'll talk more about the radio pieces and maybe the other media pieces you developed in our next half hour. How has this internship changed you, do you think? I know that's a very large question, but have you had a chance to reflect on that yet?
For me, it's been completely amazing. I've never done anything like a radio piece. I've never done a video. You know, I've never actually used a camera or edit anything along these lines. So just for probably like 10 different things that I've done in these 6 weeks alone that I haven't ever gotten chance to. So it's really been amazing.
Terrific. And what do you think, Autumn?
Well, my family can tell you that I go home every day just blabbering on about what we did at work. And like, I go to bed excited to come to work every morning. It's almost pathetic, but I've never really been so invested in anything ever. And I've never really put so much of myself into anything that I do. Things usually just come pretty easy, but this, like, I really want to put my best work out. And it's kind of showed me that if you do find something you're really passionate about, you know, then you're willing to give it 110%.
That's really a good insight. And hopefully you'll be lucky enough to feel that way about college. And you'll be lucky enough to feel that way about every single thing you do. But the good thing is, if you're not feeling that way, you know it's possible. And it, you can find it, because sometimes you can't have it all the time, but it is possible. I wanted to turn to Hannah, too, and sort of ask her that similar question. How do you think things have changed for you?
I definitely have been introduced to a lot of new career or life opportunity situations that I think I might be interested in pursuing. My response would be pretty similar to Autumn's response, but I definitely became much more aware and invested, and I hate to say this, but I didn't really read the newspaper too much before this, and now I always want to know what's going on, and I feel like I also know so much more about Pittsburgh that is really great, and I'd like to take advantage of all the opportunities that are here from that.
Terrific. We're going to take a short break. We're talking with folks from the Heinz Endowments Summer Youth Philanthropy Internship Program. We're still going to talk with Dan and Wayne in our next half hour. We also are going to talk about what it's like to create media. That's all coming up here at the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, made possible in part with support from Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, where kids and adults can take off on fantastic flights of imagination. The museum is open daily and offers visitors a chance to sculpt with clay, make paper, build and launch a boat, defy gravity, and catch words that rain from the sky. Additional information is available at 412-322-58 or pittsburghkids.org. A 60% chance of rain or thunderstorms today and tonight, 30% tomorrow. High today, 82 degrees. Low tonight, 69. High tomorrow, 87 degrees. Currently 74 in Grove City, 72 in Washington, Indiana, and Clarion, and 73 degrees in New Concord, Ohio, and at our studios in historic Allegheny Square. Indeed, the Batman activities are taking place at Heinz Field right now. And earlier, we mentioned the wheelchair games. We started to mention that. And the motorized wheelchair rally is underway at Carnegie Science Center. It just got started a few minutes ago. We'll return in just a moment to talk more about the Heinz Summer Internships and the Youth Philanthropy Program. It's 9:30 at SLB.
Joshua, 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 Joshua.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down
that morning.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho,
around Jericho, around Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
Good morning, fellow pilgrims. Pray tell me where you're bound. Pray tell me if you're headed to some far enchanted ground.
God knows that. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho,
around Jericho, around Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down.
You can talk about your man called Gideon. You can talk about your man called Saul. But there ain't no man like Joshua at the Battle of Jericho.
Up to the walls of Jericho, he walked with the spear in hand. Go below that realm where Joshua cried,
cause a battle him in my hand.
God knows that.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho,
around Jericho, around Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down.
In the land ramp, she points begin to blow. The trumpets begin to sound. Old Joshua commanded the people to shout, and the walls come tumbling down.
Keep it telling you.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho.
Around Jericho, around Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Joshua, 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 Joshua.
And the walls come tumbling down.
Down Jericho.
The Saturday Light Brigade, it's now 27 minutes before 10 o'clock. Today's a little different, and I hope you're enjoying hearing some voices from the Heinz Youth Philanthropy Internship Program. You're going to be hearing media projects. We created 12 radio features in 1 week. Actually, one group of interns worked with us the week of the 11th of July, and then the week of the 18th, another group worked with us, and in each week, they were done in a week, starting Monday, and then by the end of the week, Friday, roughly a 3 to 3.5 minute feature created by each team. One person we haven't talked to yet, who was one of the people creating such a feature, is Dan Law. Hey, Dan.
What's going on, Larry?
Not much. I'm so glad you're here. And
thanks for having me.
Dan is a little different in that he is a graduate student among the undergraduates that are featured here. And your job as part of the Heinz Endowment's Youth Philanthropy Internship Program was really to help Wayne coordinate everybody, and that's a daunting task. And Ricky mentioned to me she observed you answering phone call after phone call after phone call, providing advice to people. That kind of management experience has to be really great for you.
Yeah, it is. I didn't really know what to expect coming into the summer because you know, it's probably the first time I've been surrounded by 35, you know, 18, 19 year olds that were so engaged and so energetic and intelligent, but ultimately there was a lot of issues to handle. But it was fun too. You know, you're always on your feet, and every single day is different. Which I think some people, when they go into their work environments, can complain from time to time about how mundane things get and a little bit monotonous. But I can safely say that, you know, I was here working on the radio, getting phone calls about camera problems halfway across the city, and then, you know, oh, we need advice on grant making, and it's, you know, you name it, there was something going on.
Had you ever had to manage people before this experience?
Not in this sort of organized way. I mean, strangely enough, I don't really know how to characterize what I do at grad school because I lead the student cabinet, so I'm in a symbolic nebulous way of representing the student body, but this is the most engaged I've ever been in terms of management because instead of representing somebody, what I do at school, and I'm directly associated with people every day. I'm having conversations, I'm solving problems, and, you know, at the end of the day, you kind of go home, and Autumn talked about this earlier. She said that, you know, you're excited to come back. Doesn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would agree with that. You know, it's fun to get up in the morning and come to the office and try to take on a new day.
One of the things I always noticed is sometimes you have to recognize that you're accomplishing things through other people by empowering them and helping them get things done, because you might have an agenda for a day in terms of what you want to do. I know you were working on an alumni website for what are now hundreds and hundreds of summer youth philanthropy interns that have been part of the Heinz Endowments. And maybe you were thinking, I'm going to get this done today, but nope. Instead, yep. I've got to help so-and-so accomplish this and so-and-so accomplish that. And at the end of the day, you're thinking, I didn't do anything. But what you really, a great mentor of mine taught me, you get to count their work when you're enabling them to succeed. Not to take credit for it, but at least to feel like you helped accomplish something.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's a sense of pride, and I'm really proud of all of them. And it's been one of the most rewarding experiences to sit through both the radio broadcasts and the media projects I think we're going to discuss in a little bit, and to see how hard they worked and how those projects came to fruition and how just excellent these products ended up being. They're so professional, and they're really thought-provoking. They're astute, and they're sharp, and it just really, really impressed. And yeah, I do. I do really enjoy this aspect of the job. I like being behind the scenes and kind of lay low and be behind it all and let them shine on center stage.
Now, you're a graduate student at Pitt studying?
Public and international affairs, yeah.
So getting a hold of some of these community issues matters a great deal. Now, let's turn to the subject of these radio pieces and also the films and other media pieces that were created. We actually are going to hear a piece about social networking at 10 o'clock, and then at 10:30 this morning, Solar Roadways, and at 11 o'clock, Voices of Homelessness. Ironically, none of the pieces that you all were involved in are on today's slate, but they'll come in future weeks. And I want to start with you, Dan, because Dan was here the first week watching everybody work. And then he said, I want to do one of these. And he said, I think I can make it happen. And you sort of had to fit it in amidst your other responsibilities. But what made you so interested in trying to do this?
Well, yeah, I came in and, I was like, well, I think I'm just going to pay attention to what's going on here. Make sure the wheels are running. And when I saw how they were able to tackle issues in radio was such a specific medium to do that, and it really I think activates people's imaginations and challenges people to view an issue or a concept in a different framework, in a different perspective. And I was watching the interns go about this process, and I became insanely jealous. And so, luckily you guys let me have the opportunity, and it was tough because, you have obligations and you have responsibilities that obviously, they set your priority list. But, the opportunity here was that you always had open ears and pairs of hands that were able to help you out. And really, I didn't feel like it was an enormous undertaking to get it done simply because of the support staff here and how encouraging everybody was. And at the end of it, I'm kind of surprised because when I listen to it, I'm like, is that me? Besides hating the sound of your own voice, but the final product is great to finally have in your hands and you hear it on the radio. And it's, I definitely one of those experiences that I was not expecting. And now that I have had it, I'm enormously grateful for it.
How did you score these interviews? He had an interview with a lead counsel at the University of Pittsburgh and also three state congress, I guess one congressman and two representatives. How did you do that?
Well, a phone call always helps. And I had known Paul Supowitz. He's one of the vice chancellors at Pitt. And, I discussed briefly the issue with him over the course of the last semester. Obviously, the budget was a pretty big issue in state politics. So I knew Paul, so I gave him a call. And, he remembered me, thankfully, and, he was willing to, sacrifice some of his time for us, very generous. And really, I just did some research and looked at the people that were kind of in ground zero. They were the centerpieces of the budget debate, and I really wanted to get some equity out of it. I didn't want this to be a one-sided discussion, and I wanted it to be a dialogue, not, these mindless, monotonous monologues that we often hear in the political scene. And luckily, Senator Leach and Representative Conklin and Representative Frankel were very eager to participate. They shared their views. They expanded on their views quite a bit. And also a thank you to their staff, too, because I think those folks don't get a lot of the credit. You see the faces of the representatives, and they get the quotes in the newspapers and the pictures and, the signs and everything, and they go on TV.
But their support staff is just, they work so hard.
That's a really good point. And they're often plucked up by other people because they're so good. Pennsylvania's folks are known for having good support staffs. You guys, the other interns here and Wayne, probably can imagine this about Dan. I was here to witness Dan making this one phone call, and it was to Representative Frankel.
Right.
And you could tell he was a little uncertain, the representative, as to whether he wanted to do this or not. And he said, all right, I'll give you 10 minutes. And then half an hour later, Dan still has him engrossed in conversation. And you could say that this is the way it works with a politician, but no, it was you. You really did a good job of listening and encouraging him to speak. And then you were left with probably at least 60 minutes of audio from all of the people you spoke with, and you had to call it down to a short, you know, 3 minutes or so.
Yeah, that's difficult, framing the narrative. I'm sure, you know, Abby, Autumn, Tristan, and Hannah would all agree with that. That was probably one of the biggest challenges, is to frame a narrative out of 60, 70 minutes of conversation. And remember, you know, you're talking to politicians, and they all have buzzwords and buzz phrases that are just brilliant, and they sound great. And, you know, but I think the point was is that you wanted to reach the core of the issue, and you didn't want to get lost up in, you know, partisan, you know, banter. I don't want to use the word, but, you know, that's kind of what sometimes it is. And you get lost in digress, and, you know, the conversations sometimes lead certain ways, and you sort of have to corral it and get it back to the point. But, and ultimately, I think that Representative Frankel, Representative Conklin, and Senator Leach really shared some really, really insightful stuff. And, you know, they're passionate about it, and they care. And they represent millions of Pennsylvanians, and it was fascinating to get that insight.
If you're just waiting to hear that piece, you'll find all of the pieces at neighborhoodvoices.org. You can listen to them, download them, forward them, help them go viral. That was Dan Law with the piece that he did, and it's all about how state budget cuts impact higher education, particularly the research universities in Pennsylvania. Now, Hannah was part of a team that did a really interesting piece on Marcella Shale, and it's not at all what you would think. You approach this from a very different direction, and maybe you can explain kind of what you did.
We looked at the social impacts of Marcella Shale, so we know that the view most publicized is the environmental impact or the economic impact, but we learned that in Elk, Cameron, and Forest counties, there had been several problems that had happened. One of which struck us immediately, and then we went from there, was that when the workers move in, they have money, and the people who live there don't have as much money. So if the landlords raise rent prices and the community members can't pay for them, but then you have these new workers coming in with money and they can pay for them, then the residents of the communities are being evicted of their homes. Also, some grocery stores that only, like, these towns have a small number of people, so the grocery stores only stock food for that number of people. But yet when the workers come in, then there's a whole new, larger amount of people. And so they buy food, and then all of a sudden the grocery stores are just completely depleted of the food. So homelessness and starvation are two things that have been occurring that you typically wouldn't think happened from Marcella's Shale. There was a lot of domestic abuse. Even situations like roads, the trucks causing damage to the roads that weren't repairing them. So many social impacts that we just didn't really think about. We know that crime went up in every county. And at the same time, though, we did look at a town. We looked at Trax Farm situation and found that theirs actually was extremely positive for them because they installed a sound wall to help the community find it more peaceful. And they've been testing all of their products. They've been testing all the water with all sorts of third parties. And they found it to just be incredible as a means to keep their farm going, because they wouldn't have been able to afford that otherwise. And at the same time, they have found it to not damage anybody in the community. So it was interesting to look at the two different stories.
Yeah, what Hannah and her teammates did was, in many ways, juxtapose how the fracking process was actually fracturing, in one case, a marriage, because one spouse wanted to develop the property and the other did not. And you actually have an interview with a woman writing a book about that. And in another case where family members did embrace it and use it to further their business. And then the social impacts he looked at were just incredible. In terms of actually producing the piece and working with other folks, do you have any observations about what that was like?
So much of it, what I thought was interesting is that a lot of the way we found our connections, besides the Tracks Farm when we went there to seek out that person, but a lot of the connections we had were either people we knew or somebody we knew who knew this person. For example, Billie Jo Wayne made the connection between us and her. She's a woman from CAPC who told us all about Elk, Cameron, and Forest Counties. And a lot of the people we were interested in interviewing about their personal situation would always be kind of somebody saying, oh, well, I have a friend who... And it was just interesting because it made me realize that it impacts that many people if we could ask everybody in the room to tell us somebody who's linked to Marcella's show.
Yeah, and it's a good lesson to always look to people to find other people, because I can't remember, maybe one job I've had I got from a newspaper. All the rest were friends of friends of friends of friends, sometimes even further removed, letting me know about a job opening or about an opportunity. And that's usually the way the world works in this day and age. Let's turn to Tristan. You worked on mass transit, I think. And I know Tori, your partner, was very interested in covering mass transit. And I'm not sure if that would have been your first choice or not.
It would have been.
Yeah, you did a great job. Why did you have a passion to try to cover that issue?
It's weird because when me and Tori first met, we were completely on two different sides.
Yeah, that's what's a lot of fun, and we haven't pointed this out, is the internship program is very diverse. You've got people from all over greater Pittsburgh working together for a few months that have never really met each other before, generally.
Mm-hmm. And I've been using the Poor Authority system since I was 10. And yeah, her first time she caught a bus was on the first day of the Heinz Endowment. So, you know, she was always interested in how the Poor Authority worked. And, you know, everybody knows about the recent budget cuts to have affected the Poor Authority and how some routes have been taken away. So we wanted to look from that, and our goal was to be from an objective viewpoint. We didn't want to shift one way towards the other, but it was sort of hard doing that when you was talking to people and how they were truly affected. And we talked to one person who went to Carrick with me, Devontae Everhart, who did his own documentary with the Hear Me Now about how the Poor Authority affected him, because of the budget cuts, he had to take two buses to come to school in 7:30 in the morning every day. So it was such a difficult way to affect it.
Yeah, you did a great job of profiling him. I met him the other day, by the way, after you had the interview with him. And to get an individual and show how he's actually being impacted is critical. The other thing that I noticed during your interview, and I mean this very respectfully, but you worked with one of the public relations spokespeople for the Port Authority, and you and Tori really did a good job of fighting the wall, so to speak. It was very clear that the woman you spoke with had key messaging points that she was really not going to deviate much from, and I think it's a good experience to have to kind of work, not against, but to try to work with a person like that to shine light on the issue. And I don't know how you felt at that point, but I know I was getting, not frustrated, but I was really feeling for you as you were trying to get more information and you were kind of getting the same thing said in a different way over and over.
Yeah, well, we knew from the beginning that she was the media relations operative, so we knew what she was going to do from the very beginning. You know, she couldn't say anything bad about our company that wouldn't be right. Our goal was to just get exact answers on why did you cut routes in these neighborhoods? Why did you raise the fare? Why did you change the names? And we was hoping that she would try to answer the questions as clear as possible without trying to spin it into something that they had to do and that there was no other option.
And you did a great job of that, too. Let's turn to Autumn and talk a little bit about her piece and how it went. And by the way, all of these pieces, you can find at neighborhoodvoices.org, and we're going to debut the first one at 10, and we'll play them between 10 and 11 o'clock all throughout the month of August on the radio. Now, Autumn's piece was on state budget cuts to K through 12 education, and you had a chance to talk with Majestic Lane and also with Michelle Figler. I'm curious, well, first, why you chose the topic, but also what it was like to get these insights.
Well, coming into the radio, the SLB radio project portion of the internship, I know my partner and I, Alicia Starkey, who I worked with, and we were both really unsure of what we wanted to cover. So I bought the Sunday paper the day before the day before we came in.
Was that a first?
Before we started on Monday? Yes, it was. Okay. Yeah, my mom won't order the paper. Anyway, it's a home issue. But so I bought the Sunday paper and I scoured through it, and one of the things that struck me most was the PA's, you know, recent budget cuts to its education budget. And so I cut out that article and highlighted it and, you know, brought it in because Alicia and I both knew we had an interest in education. So I figure that was a little more specific of a direction to take. So I brought that in and we both agreed that was worthy of our time and it would probably come up with a good show. So that's what we decided to do. And yes, as you said, we did get a chance to interview Majestic Lane, who's the senior executive assistant to State Senator Jim Furlow. And that one in particular, I think, because that was the only in studio interview that we had, that it was really intimidating. I had never heard of him before, but he seemed important, and to have him in here and, you know, like talk face to face about this issue was a little daunting, but it was, I think it turned out well, and he gave us a lot of good opinions from a political standpoint, and we also got to interview Michelle Figler, who's with the Pennsylvania Association for the Education of Young Children, and she gave us much more of an activist viewpoint on the issue. We actually interviewed her. She was in Harrisburg, addressing the issue of the state budget cuts to education. So that was pretty interesting.
And you did just a great job juxtaposing the two of them. Now I want to come back to Dan and Wayne, who hasn't been able to get a word in edgewise. Not that he's been trying, but I think he is taking delight in just listening to all of you speak. But and Abby, too. But before I do, you also were involved with some other media projects. I just wanted to get a sense of the whole media experience for you, not necessarily contrasting the experiences, but just if it's changed the way you're consuming media or the way you might look at news and information, if it's the kind of impact that it's had on you. And any of you can jump right in.
Well, we worked with the Saturday Light Brigade and put out a radio piece. We also worked with Pittsburgh filmmakers to put out, at first, in the beginning of the summer, they gave us a menu of options to choose from, and most of the groups went with a video. I believe two went with a blog as well. And my group in particular, Tristan was in this group too. We did a video, an informational video about the internship itself, as well as a blog, which is more of a day-to-day reflection on, you know, the site visits or past interns, and it definitely got me to look at media more critically as an editor, I guess, and it taught me that you do have to hear both sides of things because, you know, even though it's being put out there for the public to hear or see, there are people behind it. There are actual people behind it making it, people with opinions. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to be informed as a listener or a viewer.
Yeah, it's a little less neat, and you know, when you get to see behind the curtain, so to speak. And Tristan and Hannah, anything you wanted to add at all?
I was also going to say about media, you know, one of the great things about the Heinz Endowments is that you never truly know what happens. And it was during this week, and it was around 10 o'clock, and I checked my email, and it was from Abby saying that, you know, we could go to see a live news broadcast, and it will be downtown. Yeah. And immediately I was like, perfect. So me and Hannah ventured downtown with some of the other groups and saw an actual live news broadcast of everything, and we was able to see, you know, how great it was to see the actual process of creating a news story, and it was able to meet the anchors and the weathermen, and it was such an incredible experience.
Yeah, I remember the day that happened, and you guys were so excited about that to do it. Gosh, this hour's going by really fast. Abby, you did an amazing piece where you interviewed a couple dozen kids about the budget cuts. That had to be wonderful for you to go through.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
And I can't wait till we get to focus it. And Wayne, my gosh, we can spill over a little bit here. We're already at 2 minutes before 10. You have to be beaming about how you still got another week or two to go with the interns, right?
We still have one more week.
Wow.
And I think what's most exciting about it for me is seeing how the interns really find their voices and develop a perspective on the community and the issues it faces. You know, 5 years ago, Marge Petruska, who's our senior program director for Children, Youth, and Families, said, we should involve youth in our grant making and really incorporate a youth voice. And so we really transformed the program. And then we said, well, how else can we help the interns find their voice and incorporate that into the work we do? And that led to the media projects. I think it makes it a little difficult sometimes to explain exactly what the internship is. I'm going to carry these interns around with me to help answer questions, because I think they do a better job of selling it than I do.
It's really incredible. And we are honored to be involved with this program. And something, and please, I mean this in a very wonderful way, we see changes in you between Monday and Friday when we get to work with you during this 1 week. I can't imagine the changes you feel between the day your internship starts and the day it ends in that entire period. I know Wayne, I'm sure, sees those as well. We all change from day to day. But I just hope this has been a transformative experience for everybody. And Dan, I don't know if you want to add anything else to the conversation.
No, just, you know, fantastic experience. And thank you to SLB Radio for granting us the opportunity to come in here and truly develop something unique and add to the experience and enrich it.
Well, we want all of you to stay friends and stay involved. I hope maybe you'll be back next summer, hopefully sooner. Anything else to add from anybody?
Nope. Thanks, Larry.
Very good. As you hear, the time is now 10. And you're listening, thanks to everyone, to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade.